Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Friday's amongst the best day of the week.
It is the best day of the week. I tell you what I enjoyed last night. Inside Monaco, the programme I watched. It was very nice.
I thought that might appeal to you.
I don't know if you've been up to the palace to receive your medal yet for your services to the community.
I have received a medal.
Thank you very much.
Nice. Quite some time ago as well.
Oh, how lovely.
In fact, if I play my cards right, I might be getting another one in a couple of years' time.
Well, I think I should probably be on my way up there tonight.
Morning, Prince Albert.
Good morning, Serene Highness Prince Albert.
Doff's cap, Tug's forelock, you know, that kind of stuff.
Quite right.
So you being lined up to replace Nigel Farage on LBC then?
I did see he resigned. There was an interesting tweet, of course, from James O'Brien on the back of that. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever listened. Have you listened to the show?
I have, through gritted teeth, just to get the other side of the coin, you know.
Well, not even. I don't know, even on you know, in terms of subject matter, but just in terms of the listener experience, I didn't think it was wonderful, to be honest with you.
Well,
the show.
It was. I mean, he can talk for England, can't he? I mean, he's always got something to say, but so I don't agree with any of it. But it is.
Dare I say, it's kind of a shouty kind of. I just didn't think he was a refined broadcaster. I think it's something perhaps you could take on in the afternoon. A global politics show.
I don't know about that. But no, I do like LBC because they do have presenters who go right across the spectrum. You've got the extreme Brexiteers. Yep. I think your friend Mr. Ferrari is one of them. And then you've got James O'Brien, of course, is completely the other side. So I like the way that they give everyone a say.
Yeah, they do a very good job, and the listener numbers have been incredibly strong, and I think they're very proud. Mr. Ferrara, I spoke to him yesterday, actually doing very well indeed during lockdown.
And of course, Mr. Ashley Tabor King learns everything he knows about radio here.
I would imagine so, I would imagine
so. He did.
So.
He was a trainee here back in the early 1990s.
I mean, there's a whole stream of international broadcasters who've worked under you here at Robert Peston, I know, is very grateful for what you did for him. Piers Morgan. There's a whole range of people that look to you to say thank you for your guidance.
Jeremy Vine. The list goes on, doesn't it, really?
Nagamonchetti.
Did you know that Tim Vine is his brother?
Who's Tim Vine?
The comedian.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
We do now.
I don't know much about Tim Vine, to be honest with you.
He's very funny. Look him up. Anyway, blood on the floor. And don't tell me you've been warning us for some time this is going to happen. You didn't actually say it was going to happen on Thursday, the 11th of June, did you?
We can play back yesterday's interview even and the day before.
You said that there would be a correction.
Consolidation.
Yes, but you didn't say when, though, did you?
Sooner rather than later was the phrase used.
Okay.
You can take that money to the bank. Global equities sold off aggressively yesterday. Investors' risk sentiment turned sour on fears of a second wave of COVID-19 in the United States and a cautious outlook coming through from the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve. There have, of course, been reports of coronavirus infection rates jumping in parts of the United States where restrictions have been eased, including in Texas, California, and Florida. U.S. virus cases now topping the 2 million mark. Fed Chair Jerome Powell suggested the pandemic could inflict long-lasting damage on the economy and may take years for lost jobs to be recovered. Markets reacted to that against the context, of course, of this meteoric rally that we've seen in equity markets since the March lows. US equity markets up more than 40%, but gave back some of those gains yesterday. In Europe, it's the same case. Europe's stock 600 fell 4.1%. That's the most since March the 23rd. On Wall Street, stocks tumbled the most also in 12 weeks. Only one stock supermarket group, Kroger, finished higher than the S&P 500 yesterday. Cruise operators, airlines, travel companies coming under renewed pressure. The bank index was down 9%. S&P was down 5.9% at the close. Government bonds were pushed higher. Safe haven demand jumped, as was gold. Gold's up 0.8%, trading $1,731 an ounce this morning. Dollar also surged 1.2%, regaining some of those losses that we've seen over the course of the past week or so. No surprise, opening calls on the European bourses looking a little bit weaker this morning. Although nothing dramatic, not the heavy wave of selling that we saw yesterday, certainly at the open at least. But we are calling the FTSE down 17 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 16 points. CAC40 in Paris off 8 points.
Yes, I'm sure that investors and hedge funds are taking money to the bank right now.
Well, they've done very well, certainly investors. And it's an important reminder, of course, about being invested, even when the headlines look very negative, you can miss out some important days. On some important days, the key is not to panic during these times of stress and dislocation in markets. Make sure you've got liquidity there to meet your needs, but also stay invested, and you'll continue to do very well from an asset class that's likely to outperform in the long term and be the primary driver of growth.
Yeah, I think the more worrying thing, I mean, this is the economy against the health of a nation again, isn't it? Is that there have been a lot of spikes in coronavirus cases in some US states. In fact, I saw this morning a little earlier that Houston is thinking of reimposing a lockdown.
Yeah, there's going to be this debate taking place not only in the United States, but of course around the world. They geared up very aggressively, many governments, to put economies into lockdown to try and save the nation from what would have been a much worse outturn in terms of the infection rates and obviously the deaths from coronavirus. That has come as an impact on the economy. We saw that from the UK today, with growth in the UK economy contracting by 20.4% during the course of April, which is the worst figures that we've seen on record. So we've got lots of evidence about how damaging the lockdown has been, and many governments, of course, want to get their economies up and running. So it's balancing health against the health of the economy.
Okay, it depends how the lockdown was implemented. I mean, the lockdown we had here was very, very strict, but from what I could see in the UK, it wasn't that strict. You know, you saw those pictures of people piling on, all those people piling onto tubes and buses and going to work, and, you shouldn't go to the pub, but the pubs will stay open. You know, that just didn't happen here. Everything's shut.
We were later than you, but yeah. I think we were pretty strict when it actually came into force.
Well, no, because you were still allowed to go out for exercise with your family. I mean, we weren't even allowed to go out in a family group. You had to go out one and the other with your kids.
So there are some differences. You're absolutely right. And when you look at Spain, for example, where children haven't been allowed out for weeks and weeks on end, that wasn't the same in the UK. You were allowed to go out to exercise, but you weren't allowed to meet different households. Shops were closed. Restaurants were closed. Only essential workers went into work. You know, so, I mean, you can argue about the severity of the lockdown here or there and whether that's cost the UK extra infections and extra deaths. I've no doubt that will be a debate for another day. But what's most importantly, perhaps from now on in, is how do you ease the restrictions in a way that's safe, that still allows the economy to continue to recover?
Well, we've been out of lockdown for nearly a month now in France, and the figures show that there has been no upturn in cases. So things seem to be going pretty well here at least.
Long hope that continues to be the case.
Okay, and the other thing to talk about, if we can call it that, Brexit.
Yeah, the UK, the European Union high-level meeting to discuss the future trading relationship has apparently been set, not officially confirmed, I don't think, but it looks like it's going to be set for the 15th of June. The meeting, of course, will be a video call, not in person. Like to conclude Boris Johnson, Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and EU Council President Charles Michel. The hope is the meeting could be the moment to start the outlining of the shape of the compromise, and then let the negotiating team intensify their work to deliver a deal by the autumn. A readout of the meeting will then be discussed by the EU27 foreign ministers at the General Affairs Council on the 16th of June, ahead of the European Council summit on the 18th and 19th of June. So we're moving into some pivotal weeks, it would appear, in terms of understanding how that transition period is going to come to the end and what the UK's relationship with Europe is likely to be moving forward. So we should get a feel if the negotiations intensify, can that lead to a deal, or will we start to see a ramping up of preparations from both the European Union and from the UK for the end of the transition period with a no deal?
Be the easiest deal in history.
Easy to do?
Yeah, the easiest deal in history. They need us more than we need them.
Who's they and us?
Well, this is what they were saying before Brexit happened, wasn't it? The easiest deal in history, said Ian Duncan Smith and David Davis.
May not turn out to be as easy as
the German car manufacturers. You know, they're desperate for our business.
Well, the European Union, of course, is an important market for the UK, but also the same way around. We know the UK is very important for Europe. So listen, let's hope economic pragmatism will prevail, a deal will be sorted out, and we can move on from this episode.
Foreign exchanges.
Pound against dollar coming in 125.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 113. Going to get 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
You'd be watching a bit of golf this weekend, weren't you?
I did see the golf was on a little bit yesterday. Is it Colonial they're playing at the moment?
Yes.
I didn't think you missed the fans. To be honest, I only watched about 10 minutes or so of it. You sort of hear the caddies, you hear the players a little bit more, and as a viewing experience, I didn't think it was too bad, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, enjoy it. Thank you. Speak to you on Monday.
Enjoy your weekend.
Hank Potts and Barclays.